More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, building trust. Are you struggling with questions of trust? We're going to help put you on the path toward healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about building trust. Are you struggling with questions about trust in any way? Maybe you're having a hard time knowing who you can trust in general, or whether you can rebuild trust once it's been lost. Maybe someone you care about's broken a promise or even betrayed you in some way. Maybe you feel guilty or are being made to feel guilty for refusing to trust someone who's proven themselves untrustworthy in the past. If you have questions or concerns about trust, let us put you on the path to healing. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps you are a person who has been through a lot and had people betray your trust in one way or another in the past, and now you're just sort of afraid to trust anybody. So you keep everybody sort of at arm's length, and it's hurting you. Other people might not even realize you're doing it, but you know that you're not comfortable having the level of closeness in your relationships that you would like to have. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I think we all go through it, this living in a fallen world, it fractures our ability to trust so much that sometimes we say, well, how do we even trust God? You know, can we trust God in the midst of everything that looks so negative in life? Is he really there for us? We're there for all of these questions today to help you have a life that flourishes in Christ Jesus. If this is kind of touching an interest or a nerve for you today, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, you might be the person who is struggling to earn back someone's trust. And if that is the position that you're in, we're here for you too. The whole show is on building trust and getting trust back once it's lost, or evaluating whether you even can. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. I think that, you know, this topic is just so important because in order to have a healthy relationship with someone, you have to be able to trust them. That's the basis for everything. And sometimes, you know, I find that when I'm working with clients, we have a tendency to trust people because they have they play a certain role in our life. They're a parent or they're a spouse. They're a person who we think we owe trust to.
Mm-hmm. That society tells us we owe trust to, or the church does. And then suddenly, we find out they are fallen, and fallen in a way that's hurting us.
And so on the one hand, you feel obliged to trust them. On the other hand, that person seems to prove consistently untrustworthy, so you feel stuck. And it's a particularly challenging place to be. We don't want to be unforgiving. We don't want to be judgmental. But we also don't want to be hurt over and over again. And in fact, we have a right to protect ourselves from being hurt. even while we do have an obligation to be forgiving. And it's hard to sometimes know how those two things fit together, especially when you're dealing with someone who has damaged or broken or betrayed your trust.
Well, I think that the complexity of being hurt by people, because face it, we are all going to hurt each other sometimes. Because we are all sinful people, no matter how much we're striving not to be. But the complexity of this trust issue is that when we know that someone has proven to us, and it doesn't even have to be catastrophic, although those can be absolutely devastating kinds of hurts, but it can be just the person who, you know, you make plans with over and over again and they never show up. Or, you know, you trust them in some way with the ins and outs of your daily life, and then you realize they're not really sharing as much with you. Even those things that the world would consider smaller, in quotes, trust issues, we end up beating ourselves up, too. You know, it's not just, I can't trust that person. It's, why didn't I know I couldn't trust that person? Why do I still want them in my life? Why do I still care? We just flog ourselves with the pain that comes with, can I ever trust them again? But I really need to be in relationship with them. I really want to be in relationship with them. If you're dealing with that struggle, if you're dealing with that kind of pain, give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
We're talking about trust today, and you might wonder, well, how do I know if somebody is trustworthy or not? Well, we'll unpack this throughout the course of the program, but in general, trustworthy people tend to display four qualities. They tend to display the ability to do what they say they're going to do, so they have follow-through. They have the integrity to try not to give offense in the first place, or if they do, to be, you know, easily corrected. They get themselves back on track. Thirdly, a person who is trustworthy displays benevolence. In other words, they consistently work for your good, even when it's difficult or inconvenient for them. And finally, they do those things consistently because, you know, everybody can do those other three things once in a while.
Yeah.
It's the question is whether you can count on them to do what they say they're going to do, to try really hard not to give offense or make up for it if they do, and work for your good in general. If you have somebody in your life who exhibits those four qualities of ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency, well, they're pretty much a trustworthy person. But of course, nobody is a perfect example of all of those qualities. And sometimes we really drop the ball in big ways. How do you know when you can trust, how to rebuild trust? That's what we're talking about today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
And as we look, as we do every day here on More to Life, at St. John Paul II's theology of the body and how it informs our topic of the day, we see that the theology of the body, reminds us that we're made for love and that our greatest mission in life is to build and actively participate in a community of love. And it's trust that makes that possible. Trust is the quality that allows us to count on another person to be, as you were saying, Greg, consistently loving to us. That is, working for our good, not just when they feel like it or when it's easy, but every day, unconditionally. Trust is the evidence that the person has the ability to, as you were saying, do what they say they're going to do, the desire to consistently work for our good in the first place, and the integrity to correct it. They've gone wrong.
That's right. You know, and a lack of trust makes it impossible to build an authentically loving relationship because you can't count on that, on those loving actions and the attitude that they display in this moment that will be here in the next. You know, trust is the quality that allows us to focus on giving ourselves to each other instead of having to focus on protecting ourselves from each other. And that's why trust is so important in any healthy, loving relationship. But if you're struggling with questions about trust, whether you're having a hard time trusting a particular person or knowing whom you can trust in general, give us a call. Let's work it out together at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you come into your... we thank you for giving us this time to be with you and the people who are tuning in right now. And we come into your presence and bring to you all those relationships where we are struggling to know how to trust. You are always present. You are always consistent. You are always caring for us. We can trust you implicitly, but sometimes we even struggle with trusting you, Lord. And so we know that our ability to know who and when and how to trust is impaired. And so we ask you to give us the grace and the wisdom that we need to know who to trust in the first place and to guide us step by step in healthy ways to rebuild trust when it's damaged or broken. We ask for your wisdom, for your compassion, and ultimately your grace. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Building Trust. If you're struggling with questions of trust, like who to trust, or how to get trust back, or how to rebuild trust once it's lost, let's talk it out and find some ways forward. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Deb, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Deb. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So, I am 65, widowed 3.5 years ago, and I'm kind of lonely and kind of looking for a partner. But my dad was a, my dad was a narcissist. He bragged about it. He's in therapy his whole life.
So, okay.
Of course. So, and then what did I do? I married a narcissist.
You broke up. Did you say you married a narcissist?
Extremely difficult marriage. I have three wonderful kids. I'm hooked into a local congregation. But how do I find a way to trust a new partner? I haven't dated. I'm not, you know, I thought I'd be remarried by now. And, you know, I've just basically pressed in really hard to the Lord for the past many years. And,
I want to be clear. I think I got it, but you broke up there. You said you married a narcissist, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he passed away 3 years ago.
And I got the rest of it, but I just want to, that's the piece I missed. Okay. So,
and while you're lonely, you haven't been dating anyone. There's no person to discern right now. You just are kind of feeling like if somebody comes along or if you stick a toe in the water of dating, as it were, how do you protect yourself after years and years and years of this pattern of being the victim? And that's anybody who has to live with a narcissist is a victim, the victim of narcissistic men in your life. It's a great question.
So, Deb, let me ask you, what have you been doing these last, say, 3 years to try to heal from the damage that the marriage has done to you and get a clearer sense of who you can trust and all that?
Yeah, I sit with the Lord every morning. I'm going to start crying. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Take a breath. It's good.
Okay. I sit with him every morning and read my scriptures. I read Magnificat. Most days.
I'm glad you're working on your relationship with the Lord. That's a beautiful thing, and that's where it all needs to start, because that's where how God gives us the grace we need, you know, to get more insights and to make more changes. But have you done anything in particular to get new skills or greater wisdom over these last several years since your husband passed?
About marriage, you mean, or
about recovering from living with two major narcissists in your life,
and how to make sure you don't fall for another narcissist in the future?
Well, I discovered a book called The Narcissistic Power Pack, which sounds so cheesy, but it's actually very practical. I don't even remember who it was written by, but I wept my way through that thing because they're related to everything. And, you know, wept and prayed and wept and prayed and wept and prayed. I've done that.
All right, so you've done some reading. You said you've gone for what now? I'm sorry.
Deep healing prayer.
Okay. So, but you haven't done any counseling?
Not since he died. I've had over the years, the reason I could stay married was that I had counseling for many, many years, secular counseling, Christian counseling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so a couple of things. As we both actually mentioned at the open of the show, you know, the first question is, how do you know if somebody is trustworthy? And, you know, a narcissist tends not to be trustworthy because they don't necessarily demonstrate the ability to follow through because they do what they want. Right. So number one, somebody who's trustworthy has the ability to follow through on what they say they're going to do. Secondly, a trustworthy person has integrity. That means that they try not to give offense in the first place. But if they do give offense, they're easily corrected because they recognize that they have this sort of internalized value system. And if you point out to them, hey, you know, when you did that, it hurt me. They say, oh, my gosh, you know, that's not how I want to behave or how I want to be seen. So let me fix that. Whereas the narcissist will say, I didn't do anything wrong. And they make you prove to them that you did something wrong, and they make you drag them to an apology because they don't have an internalized value system other than what's good for them. Thirdly, benevolence. You know, a healthy and trustworthy person will consistently work for your good, even when it's hard for them or inconvenient. A narcissist can sometimes work for your good, but only if it's good for them, and never if it's inconvenient. And finally, consistency. You know, a healthy person will exhibit ability, integrity, and benevolence consistently. A narcissist will do it once in a while, and just enough for you to kind of stay on the hook and think that, oh, maybe they're changing this time. And then you fall for it, and then they go back to being who they were. So, you know, your challenge, Deb, is looking for people in your life who can demonstrate that ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency that demonstrates that they are trustworthy people. That said, one of the biggest challenges when you've come out of a relationship like you have, often we struggle to trust ourselves, to trust. And that's basically what you're asking. How do I trust? How do I know I can trust myself to decide who's healthy and who isn't? I'd really like it if you could list all the people that you know, and next to them, I'd like you to kind of rate them on those four traits, right? Rate on a scale of say 1 to 10. With 10 being the most trustworthy and 1 being the least. And rate for them for each of those qualities: ability to follow through on what they say they're going to do, the integrity to not give offense in the first place or to correct themselves if they do, thirdly, the benevolence to work for your good, and the consistency. How consistent are they in doing those other three things? Then, once you've kind of rank ordered those folks in terms of how high they score on those four things, I'd like you to sort of draw a target for yourself. And the target, you know, the center of the target represents your heart. And then each circle outside from that target determines kind of how close you let those people to your heart. And based on how you've rated those people, I want you to put them on that target where they belong so that you have a sense of how much can I share with those people, how much can I trust them, how much can I depend on them, and how much, you know, do I need to either, you know, have them in my life but keep them at a certain distance or not trust them with certain parts of myself, or maybe even set some more boundaries there. Then finally, I would really like you to follow up with a good counselor to begin to learn how to apply this in other areas of your life so that you are personally able to trust yourself in making this judgment and not make excuses unnecessarily, while at the same time not just shutting people out as you have been for the last several years. It's going to be a longer process, Deb, and that's why I'm really encouraging you to work with somebody. I also want you to pick up a copy of our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and focus on the chapters on setting boundaries and developing healthy relationships, because a big source of anxiety is the struggle to set healthy boundaries with people and know how to be in a healthy relationship. So we do have sections in that book that really look at the relational contributions to anxiety and how to address them. So those are some resources for you. I think you can get a pretty good distance with the suggestions I've made for you on the call, but those additional resources will be tremendously helpful for you in healing moving forward. Take advantage of the grace that God is giving you to make some of those changes and develop those insights. I always tell people, praying and getting into scripture, receiving the sacraments, is like filling up your gas tank. Right, but if you have a broken down engine, doesn't matter how full the gas tank is, you can't move forward. So that's what getting, using these insights, doing more reading, and getting counseling is going to do for you. It's going to fix that engine so you can take advantage of all that grace that God's been giving you over these last several years. Thanks for the call, Deb. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program or through our practice at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls at 877 877- 573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about questions of trust. Are you struggling to know who to trust, or whether you can trust a particular person, or how to rebuild trust with somebody who has let you down? Let's work it out together at 877-573-7825. Back after this.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live-stream football button. This Saturday, it's the home opener for the Gyrenes as they take on Point Georgia. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guerrero here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about building trust. And if you're struggling with questions of trust or who to trust or how to get trust back, let us help you at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Popcheck. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's also an author and illustrator. You can learn more about his work at ArtSoulAndMind.com. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we've been talking about how to know when you can trust somebody. In fact, our previous call was specifically on that topic. You wanted to address that issue as well.
Yeah, I always think it's a little bit binary to a fault when we find ourselves asking, can I trust someone or can I not trust someone, right?
So it's that absoluteness, right? The black and white is what you mean by that. So
right,
I can either
right.
trust them completely with everything or cast them out of my life. I can't trust them at all. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's very on switch, off switch kind of a mentality, which, you know, as psychotherapists, When evaluating mental health, we always look for all or nothings, right? All or nothing thinking, that sort of black and white that you're describing, that tends to be kind of at the core of most mental health issues. So we want to avoid that. And the healthy response I would have, or the healthy alternative I would pose to that question of can I trust someone or not, is to what degree can I trust this person? You know, you were mentioning before the break, Greg, that there is this sort of target idea where, you know, we want to have our most intimate people at the center of the target. But then there are other, you know, rings outside of that target, and maybe I can put someone on the second ring out or the third ring out, depending on what sort of intimacy they've earned with me or what sort of trust they've cultivated or what actions we have or have not experienced together. But I've also heard this likened, and I actually like this analogy even better, to the walls around the Temple of Jerusalem, right? In the Old Testament, we're told that there's the central temple and where the Holy of Holies is, and that's where the high priest is only able to go, right? So this is a part of the temple that is so intimate that only like one person is allowed to go in there. And then there's this secondary wall outside of that, and that's where a lot of the faithful are allowed to go. And then there's a third wall outside of that, and that's where a lot of the market people are allowed to go. And I like to think of our hearts the same way. I have some people who are allowed in my kind of heart of hearts, my holy of holies, right? My most intimate, tender part of my emotional and spiritual and psychological self. But then I have outer rings for close friends, and then another outer ring beyond that for acquaintances and people I want to get a beer with, and then people outside of that, you know, who I work with but don't really know that much about, right? And I can trust all of those people to corresponding degrees. Now, what I recommend for those who are wounded or who struggle with trusting people is making that unspoken thing a little bit more spoken by literally going and sitting and journaling out what kinds of behaviors, what kinds of actions, what kinds of responses would put someone in wall two versus wall three, right? You want that accountability system for yourself so that if somebody hurts your feelings or does something wrong, you can actually evaluate and say, okay, where does this person actually belong in the rings of intimacy with me? And you can rely on more than just how you are emotionally responding at any given moment.
It's a really beautiful image, and I think very practical as well. And I would thank you for those insights, Jacob. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about his counseling work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com to check out more about his writing and illustrating work. Art, Soul, and Mind is the website for that. Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today, sir.
Thank you.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, about building trust. Are you struggling with questions about trust, whether to trust in general or how to rebuild trust with someone who's let you down, or a particular struggle with a person who you want to trust but for some reason just can't get yourself there, or for that matter can't get them to trust you? We're here for all those questions and more at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions right after this.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Today's culture doesn't seem to understand the importance of fathers. And the exponential increase in children born to single mothers illustrates that. But fathers are essential to raising happy, healthy children. Here are three things that show us how important dads are. 1. Involved fathering is related to slower rates of problem behaviors in children, reduced teen violence, delinquency, and other problems with the law. 2. Studies show that people who remember having loving, supportive fathers have high life satisfaction and self-esteem. Finally, the most important reason fathers are essential
is that when it comes to passing on our faith and values to our kids, fathers are the leaders. When mom and dad are regular churchgoers, 33% of their children will be regular churchgoers, and 41% will at least attend at some time. But if dad doesn't go to church, only 3% of children will become regulars themselves. For more information on having great fathering in your family and a great Catholic family life, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Building Trust, as we talk about questions related to trusting others, getting trust back, winning the trust of others.
Trusting ourselves.
That's right.
To trust other people. It's scary out there. And you know what? Also being trustworthy. If you have a hard time following through, you want to be there for the people in your life, but there's just something where you keep kind of falling short and it's driving you and other people crazy. We're even here for that, because trust is a very complex issue. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hi there, Sue. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, I was thinking of my husband when you were talking about the ways that you pick a trustworthy person. And sadly, we're not very trustworthy to each other. We've been married 40 years, have two kids. And so what do you do if you're, and I hope I'm not going to cry here, if your husband's not the one in the middle of the circle, you know?
Well, you know, let's talk years. About, so what stops him from being able to be in the middle of that circle? It says you told our screener that you're particularly frustrated that he has a hard time saying he's sorry for things. Is that the issue, or is it something else?
Oh, holy mackerel, yes. He has a real hard time saying he's sorry for anything, and it really, I really pay a price if I bring up something that has hurt me.
What does pay a price mean?
He starts into blustering about, you know, what he meant by that and how it really wasn't something that he meant to hurt me. And I'll say, but it did hurt me, honey. And he just won't say sorry. Sometimes he will change his behavior, but the words, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you, have.
And what have you done to try to address this? I mean, that's tremendously painful. Have you ever gotten any kind of help?
I've said several times in as calm a voice as I could, you know, that I do need to hear him say that he's sorry for that. I know that he doesn't mean to hurt me, but when he does, he never says that he's sorry, and then I get silence from that. So,
Sue, this is bad enough, okay? And you have a right to be feeling, you know, wounded by this for sure. But I want to tease this out just a little bit more so we see the degree to which this is a problem. It's one thing for him to have a real issue with being humble enough to say he's sorry to you. Does it stop there, or does it become, well, you're just too thin-skinned, or you're taking it wrong, or is there a blaming of you for your feelings being hurt, or is it just that he kind of stonewalls you on saying he's sorry? Just think about it for a minute.
It used to be that he would blame me for being too thin-skinned, and as we've gotten older, that has kind of dropped off. But it's more a full defense of himself.
Okay. I'm just curious. It doesn't really matter, but just, you know, in his growing up, was it somehow unsafe for him to admit that there was something wrong? I mean, whether it was his parents kind of over the top in terms of their discipline or rejecting in some way?
Holy mackerel! Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised because that's where you learn these things, right? And so the reason mm-hmm. what happens whenever he does something wrong, you know, he sort of sees his mom and dad's head on your body, you know, he can metaphorically speaking, and he reacts as if that little kid who got his hand caught in the cookie jar, and now he's going to get whacked really
hard.
He's
having a stressed reaction. Now, that doesn't mean he can get away with it, and that doesn't mean we just excuse him and say, ah, poor baby, but that's the origin.
Yeah, and so it also gives you a way in, and also some ways to follow up here. So first of all, I think when you're not having this issue, it's going to be important to him, like, for example, when you get off the call. I would actually suggest downloading the podcast and playing it for the two of you, listening it together, and walking through what we're about to share with you. First of all, you have the conversation where you say, look, you know, I know that we have this dynamic where if you ever do hurt me, even if you don't mean to, and I point it out to you, you get really upset. And that's hard for me. But I understand where it comes from, I think. And it wasn't safe for you to ever be wrong growing up. But we've been married for 40 years, and I would like you to reflect on the fact that I have stayed with you and I have loved you through all of this, and that it is okay and it is safe to be wrong with me. I'm not your mom and I'm not your dad, and you've not lived with them for a very long time now, and I need you to start giving me the credit I deserve for being safe to be wrong around, to be a person who is safe to make mistakes around, who will not punish you or reject you or hurt you for having hurt me. So that's number one. I need you to hear that, honey, and you say that to him. Second thing, I need us, whenever I do come to you, for you to remember that and for us to be able to sit down and work out together, not who's at fault or who's to blame, but how can we handle it better next time, right? So when I come to you and I say, you hurt me by doing X, I'm not saying shame on you. I'm not saying I hate you. I'm not saying I'm going to stop loving you. I'm not saying you're a terrible person. I'm saying that didn't go very well. If we had it to do over again, how could we handle it better and differently next time? Would you be willing to have that conversation with me? Right. So you try to work that out ahead of time. Hopefully that conversation goes relatively well. If not, I have a thought for that, but let's assume that it goes okay. Then when that situation does happen, you remind him, honey, I'm not your enemy. I'm not your folks. You know, it is safe to be wrong around me. It's safe to make a mistake around me. I know you didn't mean to hurt me, but I'm also not asking your permission to be hurt by you. I'm telling you what you did was hurtful. It's important to have that mindset, right? You're not, when he gives you the whole, well, I didn't mean it, and you did thing, you need to look at him and say, listen, honey, I love you. I am not asking your permission to be hurt by you. I am telling you that you hurt me. And it doesn't matter whether you meant to or not. What you did was hurtful. And I need you to remember, I am a person who it's safe to make mistakes around, who it's safe to be wrong around. I've proven that to you, and I need us to stay here with me right now, instead of you treating me like I'm your parents who are going to give you a spanking or something. And then you try to work through it from there. The if he doesn't, all right, if he shuts down on that, it's really tremendously important that you not let him off the hook. Now that's going to feel guilt. You're going to feel guilty about doing that. You're not punishing him. You're not you know, being resentful toward him. What you're doing is you're saying, look, we can't move forward until we've dealt with this. That's a loving thing to do. To love somebody means to work for their good. Allowing him to continue in this way is not working for his good. What usually happens whenever you have this pattern, the guy in the situation, or whoever it is, it could be the woman too, but you know, your husband, will bluster like this, and then he goes away. You feel like, I just guess I have to let this go. And then he comes back in an hour, right, and he says, what's for dinner? And suddenly the whole thing's forgotten. Well, if everything I'm sharing with you doesn't work, okay, and he comes back in an hour after something like this and says, what's for dinner? You have to look at him and say, honey, I love you, and I'd love to talk about what's for dinner. But until you're willing to accept responsibility for what you did and work with me to figure out how we can make sure that doesn't happen in the future, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with, much less a dinner conversation. And that will be the only thing you say to him until he is ready to come to you and work through this with you. If he says, what's going on with the kids? Honey, I'd love to talk to you about the kids, but until you can sit down with me and work through what happened there and how we can do it better next time, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with, especially about the kids. have you picked up my dry cleaning? I'd love to answer that question, honey, but until you get my point, you're a broken record at that point. You hold him accountable for his actions, and you're not shaming him, you're not punishing him, you're just saying, I love you too much to not let you deal with this and work through it so that I don't have to keep feeling abused by you.
Yeah, you're standing up for your own dignity. You're also standing up for his. You know, he is a very grown man who needs to be able to be freed from the oppression of the way he was raised that puts him in this sort of little boy persona every single time he's told that he's done something wrong. He needs the freedom from that. He needs the healing from that. And heaven knows, so do you in your marriage. So you're standing up for your dignity, his dignity, and the dignity of the sacrament of your marriage. So you have to remind yourself of that. You may need to write yourself a note, because it could be a little, you know, hard going, as Greg said, especially now that you know where it comes from. You might be feeling badly for him or feeling like you should let him off the hook.
Don't.
And that would be the worst possible thing
for him. You would feel empathy for him, but don't let him off the hook. That would be the worst thing in the world.
It will not bring healing to your marriage, to him or to you.
Now, two resources, okay? Because this is a lot to do on your own, especially after 40 years of marriage. So number one, I want you to pick up a copy of our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And I want you to go through the chapter on, especially the chapter on learning from past conflict, because there's a way to approach these kinds of offenses that feels safe, and there's a way that most people do it that doesn't feel so safe. You guys are going to especially need to learn how to approach offenses and conflict in a way that feels safe. And so take a look at Reviewing Past Mistakes chapter in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. I'm also going to suggest that the two of you consider getting some marriage counseling. And he, you know, don't go and ask him, because nobody wants to go to marriage counseling, right? But just say, look, honey, I think we need some help, some support to learn these new skills. Give it a couple of weeks after you have this conversation, see how it goes. But if you find that you're getting overwhelmed and you're feeling frustrated and things aren't really happening, that's a good indication that professional marriage counseling with a marriage-friendly therapist, that's somebody who's been trained in marriage therapy and actually has done supervision in marriage therapy, that's the person to work with. They have an excellent success rate where people who are individual counselors who, quote-unquote, happen to do relationship counseling have about a 30% success rate. So work with somebody who's got the training and experience that's necessary. We all do that in our practice at CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like to reach out to us, but you can find a local resource as well. Either way, getting the support you need to follow through with what we're suggesting is going to be critical to making a real change here. Sue, thanks so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the program. Again, the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, or learning more about our counseling practice, all the information is at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about building trust and rebuilding trust when it's been broken or lost. Let's talk about how to help you with your questions of trust and find that path toward healing at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 109, verse 4.
In return for my love, they betray me, but I give myself to prayer. You know, if you didn't hear the setup for that, you think it's Jesus talking, right? Because in return for his love, everyone betrayed him.
But
he
gave
himself to prayer. I mean, what a foreshadowing. But it also shows us that part of the reason that Jesus went through that betrayal is because he, as our God, wanted to be incarnate into everything we go through in our human experience. Because we are fallen, we all are betrayed by someone in little ways and big ways at some point in our lives. But when we give ourselves to prayer, God can bring healing even to the very big hurts.
But I want to suggest a way to bring yourself to prayer in this. It's not just, oh God, you know, help me bear up under this terrible thing, because that can often keep you stuck in a place maybe God doesn't want you to be. You know, however you pray is a wonderful thing. God wants our prayers and will receive however we pray.
God can do things through any crack in the door that we open to him.
But the best way to pray about this is to say, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you and work for the other person's good as well as for mine. It's not help me to get through this. It's help me to learn how to work, to truly work for their good, their ultimate good, and for mine as well, so that we can glorify you even in this betrayal. That's how we give ourselves to prayer in the face of broken trust, so that God can teach us how to respond to it in a way that will not just glue it together and pretend that everything's okay, but help us build true communion and heal the damage that sin tries to do to all of our relationships. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with broken trust, knowing who you can trust, how to get trust back when it's lost. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about trust and healing trust when we come back after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live-Stream Football button. This Saturday, the Gyrenes visit Kentucky Christian. Game time at 1:30 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Our show today is titled Building Trust, and we're talking about questions related to trust, like who can you trust in the first place? How can you rebuild trust once it's been lost? Should you even try? What about you being the one who's lost someone's trust? How can you get it back? Is it possible? Let us help you find the path to healing at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hi, David. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
So my situation is similar to one of the earlier callers, but I would like my wife to trust me more. Mm-hmm. And more specifically is I sense that I'm in the innermost circle of trust.
So David, how would you know if she trusted you more? What would that look like in practice?
That if I tell her that somebody in the outer circles of trust, like friends that she's entering into a relationship with that are like girlfriends from work or the neighborhood or somebody that she meets and connects with, that I just perceive that it's not the best person to just get into a deeper friendship with to listen to me on that, because she's had a hard time with doing that, and she's
a hard time with listening to your perspective on friends.
Yes.
I think the danger here, David, and I want to try to tease out what you're really trying to say here, because the danger is that what you're really asking is what a parent does for a child, not for what a partner does for a spouse. Right. Presumably your wife is a smart grown up woman who is capable of making her own decisions. And so, you know, it's OK to certainly have like if she comes to you and says, I'm really frustrated with this person, I don't know what to do with this relationship. You know, trusting you means being able to, you know, work through that together and figure out maybe where those people should be on that target that we were talking
about
earlier.
And even explaining that target, perhaps, you know, downloading this show for her, the podcast, and saying, this was a really interesting perspective on how to trust people with this target imagery. Maybe we could talk about what that means, because you may be 100% right, David, in that she might be a person who just thinks, I will trust people completely until I'm hurt, and then I will push them away. That's a possibility.
But the way you're presenting it here, it's putting you in a position of a parent and her in a child position, and I'm sure you don't mean to do that, but if that's the way you're coming across to her, the reaction you're going to get from her is almost this kind of defiant, honestly, child reaction, where I'm going to go see who I want to see, and which is going to blind her to possibly to even unhealthy relationships just to prove to you that she's a grown-up and she deserves to be treated like one. So my suggestion to you, David, is to work on your approach, right? And if there's a specific concern that you have, you know, you might approach your wife by asking the question, hey, you know, I noticed thus and such about this person. How do you deal with that? But then you have to trust her and the answer that she gives you that says, okay, you know, I'm handling that in this way and deal with the discomfort you might feel about it, because she is a grown woman and she's allowed to make her choices. Now, if there's something, for example, you know, it can sometimes happen where you know, a spouse is spending so much time with other people is struggling to kind of get their priorities straight, so they're not able to kind of give pride of place to their marriage or their family life. You know, you can go with specific concerns. In that case, the issue isn't the friends. In that case, it's, hey, honey, I love you, and I'd really like to get more time to do X with you, right? And then you're having a conversation about working on your relationship. But we do have a tendency sometimes to make those relational questions more about, oh, well, you're doing this thing with that other person, and I'm jealous of them, or I don't want you to be with them. When what I'm really trying to say is, you know, I don't mind that you're with them. It's more that I mind that you're not doing X, Y, or Z with me. So I'd really like you to reflect a little bit on what we're saying to you here, David, and really look at how you're coming across to your wife. Because, again, the way you present it on the program comes off more as your wife's father than her partner, and no person is going to respond well to that. The theology of the body teaches us that each and every person is a person who deserves to be loved, and instead, you know, the approach that you've taken here is to treat her more like a project, and really that's always going to get a defensive response. I'm sure that's not your intention, but that is, you know, something you need to look hard at. There are, as we said, there are ways to approach her about specific concerns. I try to illustrate a few of those. Try to take that to heart in the way you approach her about these things.
I think that what we're saying here, Greg, really brings up sort of a underlying suggestion for everyone on how to build trust, which is when you go to somebody with your concern, you need to ask not just for the apology, but also a plan on how to do things differently. And even in this situation with David, honey, I've got this concern about this person you're friends with because I'm seeing X, Y, and Z. I love you. How are you going to make sure that you're not just going in whole hog, because I'd hate to see you get hurt? You're asking for a plan even there.
But you're trusting that she has one.
Exactly.
You know, it's not,
exactly.
It's not, you're not going
give
to
me a plan.
Exactly.
Woman. Yeah, no, you're not doing
you're
that.
Trusting that she has a plan, or that she is working that out with you, but you're not telling her who she can be in relationship with and what she can do. You know, that's really the difference between a parent and a partner. A parent knows that a child doesn't know what's good for them, so we have to teach kids, right? But when we get married, we presumably marry a grown-up who has a good head on their shoulders, Otherwise, we're idiots for marrying them. And so we have to trust that person to make grown-up decisions. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you so much for allowing us to walk with you during this part of your journey. And if there's more we can do to support you in building trust or rebuilding trust in your life and relationships, check out the resources I mentioned today on the program at CatholicCounselors.com. You can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. The resources are all there at CatholicCounselors.com. Remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you. Have a blessed day, folks.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.